Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? Yes, it's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, I have a very special guest. I am so excited to have my sister in Christ, author Kimberly Mallory. She is the author of the book, which is titled, There Is No Sound in My Scream, dealing with talking about drugs, truth, and faith. She is my special guest on tonight. I know you all are going to be blessed by what God is going to say through her book on tonight. So we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners to please pray with me at this time because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. And please don't forget that following my discussion with her regarding her book on tonight, I will be opening up the phone lines for any of you that have dialed in. If you have any questions for her pertaining to her book, or if you want to get information how you can get in contact with her, if you want her to speak at an engagement for you and how you can purchase her book, we will do all of that after we conclude with her discussion of her book on tonight. So please pray with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. Why? Because you're truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that you are our promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my guest on tonight, Kimberly Mallory, and her entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you would continue to extend your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know we don't deserve it, but we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you send to us each and every day. We can't deserve it. It's unmerited favor, and we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted. We lift up our guest on tonight. We lift up her father to you right now. Heavenly Father, you know what he's going through. Not only her, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, we lift them up to you because we don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. And you promised that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. But we ask that you would touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen your people in the name of Jesus. And after you have healed them, delivered them, and set them free, that they would have a testimony giving you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. You know where they are, so we ask that you would touch their hearts, Lord. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your presence, your strength, even as they go through the hour of bereavement and grieving on tonight. Let them know that you're with them. Let them feel your presence in the name of Jesus. We pray now, Lord, that you will move by your spirit through this worldwide platform and ministry on tonight. We know that it's not going to be in vain. It's not in vain. You said that your word and everything that we do for you will not go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that you set out for it to do. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise in advance for it right now. We ask that you continue to bless my guest on tonight, Kimberly Mallory. Continue to bless her and give her the desires of her heart. Not only her, but all the faithful listeners that faithfully dials in every Thursday and every Saturday night to this worldwide platform. And even those that listen in through social media platforms around the world, continue to bless them all and grant them all the desires of their hearts that we give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit as this broadcast is going through to prisons all around the United States, that they would also be blessed by it and inspired by this broadcast on tonight. We ask that you would have your way, that you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual proof of thought, as we always do. And it comes to us saying on tonight, thank God true Christians don't look like what they have been through. And I'm a witness to that. I can bear fact and witness to that for myself. So I'm going to say it again. Someone needs to hear this word on tonight. And you're a witness too. Thought once again. Thank God true Christians don't look like what they have been through. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry platform. So, and I'm not going to make any announcements on tonight because I do want to get to my guest on tonight. My special guest, Kimberly Mallory, we just thank God for her. We thank God for what he's doing in her life. And we thank God that she has come forth on tonight to share her book again with you, the listeners, and me as well. I have read the entire book, and it is an awesome book. So right now, Sister Kimberly Mallory, thank God for you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're doing a lot going on in your life, but I thank God for you, and we've been putting this off for a while, and thank God that we now have you on the air around the world. You are being listened to around the world, so we just give God glory, honor, and praise for it right now in Jesus. So before we move any further, I would like to ask, if you don't mind, would you please share with me and the worldwide listeners, could you please share with us a testimony first?
Yes, absolutely. Brother James, first and foremost, I just want to thank God for allowing me to cross your path. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show today. And I just give God all the praise and all the glory for you and all of your listeners. So today,
amen.
I was thinking, amen, and I said a testimony. I was thinking to myself, I said, God, this man, this mighty man of God asked me to be on his platform, but I just don't feel like I'm worthy to be on his platform. This is what I'm speaking to God. See, God is my friend. So I talk to him just as if he's sitting right next to me, and I'm saying, God, he has all of these powerful people on his show with all these amazing titles. And why did he ask me to be on his show? And immediately God checked me, and he said, yes, they are accomplishments, but I'm not impressed by their titles. He said, what I want you to do tonight is I want you to give me all the praise and glory for saving your life and getting you out of the pit of hell. And that will give me the glory. It's not your title. And immediately he brought to me a scripture, Galatians 1 and 10, where he said, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I just say to you all, it's not about the titles. It's not about pleasing men. It's about everything that you do. Look to please God. And amen.
Amen. What a powerful testimony on tonight. Thank you for sharing that with me and the listeners on tonight. And that's why I ask all my first-time guests to share a testimony. Why? Because God said he would share his glory with no one. And what you have just said is going to be a blessing to someone. So, and Diane, you being the guest on tonight, and as we discuss your book, you are going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people around the world, that they will realize and know that just like God did it for you, he's the same God. He has no respect of persons. He's the same God, and he's able to do the same thing for them as long as they have the faith to trust him and praise him and walk in their God purpose, and that he will get the glory out of their lives as well. So we thank you. I thank you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. Before we do the discussion of your book, once again, her book is titled, this is none other than the author herself, Kimberly Mallory, the author of the book titled, There Is No Sound in My Scream, Dealing with Drugs, Truth and Faith. We're going to come back to her following this short music break. We're going to go through this music break, and we're going to come back to her, and we're going to get into this book. We're going to discuss some her titles of her chapter of her book, and we're going to open up and let you all be blessed by what God has blessed her to write in this book, and he is truly being glorified through her and through the works of her hands. So I pray that you will enjoy this music break.
So much.
Yes, yes, yes. I give you praise. Why? God deserves your praise. He deserves my praise. He deserves our total praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, God deserves our total praise at all times. Before I go back into discussing the book with my guest on tonight, Kimberly Mallory, please don't forget to mark your calendars. I forgot to mention this as far as the announcements. I wasn't going to say this, but I do need to make mention of it. This coming Saturday, 24th of September, Pastors Gerald and Carol Irving will be doing their part two message. They did about a month ago. They did part one. They will be doing part two on this coming Saturday. For those of you that dialed in and heard part one, what a powerful word they delivered. So they're going to conclude the message on this coming Saturday night. And then next Thursday night, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., will be my special guest on Thursday night, the 29th of September. Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., will be delivering another word from the Lord. Well, again, we have none other than my friend and sister in Christ, Kimberly Mallory, the author of There Is No Sound in My Scream, talking about drugs, truth, and faith. Well, as we open up this discussion, Sister Kimberly, could you please share with me and the listeners how this book came to be?
Well, actually, how the book came to be was I had actually started writing this book about 5 years ago, There's No Sound in My Scream. And how I got that title was because God kept waking me up at the same time between 3 and 3:30. It seemed like every morning it was like clockwork. And God said, there's no sound in my scream. And I'm like, God, what are you talking about? He said, I want you to write a book. I was like, nah, I think you got the wrong person, God. You know, but he kept waking me up. God specifically said to me, I want you to put a notebook and a pen and a pencil on your nightstand. And every morning I'm going to wake you up and I'm going to give you a chapter, the title of a chapter. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He gave me the title of this book and gave me 7 chapters and said, now I want you to fill them in. The reason why he told me I needed to write this book, God knew that the things that I did when I was out there using drugs for 16 years of my life, I did so many things that I was not proud of. And so I suppressed them. And I was never able to really fully heal because I had suppressed so much. And God said, when you write this book, not only is it going to heal you, but it's going to help heal others. And I was so excited. And it seemed like every night, God gave me a chapter, and I just filled the chapter in. I cried like a baby writing this book. I was in a fetal position. I had to get a spiritual mentor to help me write this book because I kept giving up because I didn't want to deal with the pain of writing this book because God allowed me to bring back some of the memories that I had suppressed that he wanted me to heal from, and it was so very painful. And God just healed me and got me through by this writing this book.
Amen. What a powerful, oh my God. I'm not going to go into it, but your story kind of reminds me of mine. That's how the Lord dealt with me about mine. My second book is titled After This Radio Broadcast, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? So, and I know that there's others on the line right now that are in the process of writing books. I'm looking at some of the numbers that have popped up on my screen. They are actually in the process of writing books now. So they're doing the same thing that you went through as far as writing, getting a notepad and putting it on the nightstand and the Lord deal with them and give them the chapters and the titles and what to put in the different titles of the chapters for the book. So we thank God for you being obedient, and you had to heal. You was being healed through the process of writing this book. You was being led by God through the Holy Spirit. He was telling you exactly what to put in the book. While you was being healed, this is just like you said, this book not only healed you, but this book is going to heal a lot of other people that read it. It's going to be a blessing to others. And most of all, God is truly being glorified through your book. Now, I can actually say to you and to the listeners, I did receive a copy of this book from you as we was at rehearsal regarding the movie that we are both in, this upcoming movie. And you told me about the book, and I asked you to give me a copy of it. And I brought it home, and I think I read the book in 2 days. I started reading this book, and I couldn't put it down. It was so powerful. I'm reading this book. I'm just sharing with the listeners what I read. And I was reading this book, and I'm just filling up inside because I'm like, wow. And that's why I'm glad the Spiritual Food for Thought kind of touches on this tonight. Thank God we don't look like what we've been through. You really, to see this awesome woman of God, listeners, I'm telling you all, if you to see her in person, you would never know that she has been through some of the things she has been through. And so that's why it's so important that we don't judge people when we look at people. You don't know what some people are going through or what they have been through. So we thank God for you being obedient to writing this book. So as we continue to go into discussing a little more deeper into your book, we're going to begin. We don't want to give too much away. We want you to give them enough that they want to be excited enough to go out and purchase this book and read it for themselves so they can be blessed by it. But I'm going to start with, if you could, I'm not going to ask you to say any particular part about chapter one, but if you could, whatever is on your heart, you talk about in the beginning is chapter one of your book. Could you discuss something out of that chapter with the listeners, please?
Yes, absolutely. So in the beginning, people always say, why did you title that in the beginning? Because that was what God told me to start it with, in the beginning, because my life changed and it became a beginning for me, because my mother died when I was 11 years old. And it was me and my other sister, her name is Debbie, which is in this book as well. And it was just me and her against the world. And we got moved to live with a relative. And when we moved to live with a relative, my whole life had changed. And that's why it's called In the Beginning, because that was the beginning of a new way of life. And so I went through so many things as an 11-year-old child, you know, being beaten, being locked in the closet, being sent to bed without being able to eat, you know, and then my sister having to take up for me all the time. I never knew what was going on. All I knew is that at that point of going to stay with relatives, that I wish that I was dead. I used to pray. I didn't even know who God was at the age of 11, but all I knew is my mother was a praying mother, and I would always hear her praying to God. And I figured if I prayed to God like she did, God would answer my prayers too. And I would always say, God, just please let me die. And that was how the beginning of my life started. At the age of 11, it was a whole new life.
Wow, Lord have mercy. And see, I'm looking at your book now as we're talking about this, and I see that you said, you mentioned in your chapter one about how every day it was a day of like a survival, just a thought of suicide. You just mentioned that. What was that like? To actually think that you feel that nobody loved you, you really didn't know who God was personally. You knew your mother knew God. She had a relationship with him, but you didn't. And so you was more or less asking God, you know, why do you hate me? So could you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. Because I would always say, my mother would always talk about how loving and caring God is, how amazing God is. And I would always hear her say these things about God. And I said, well, if there's really a God, how could he be allowing me to be to have to live with relatives where I'm being beaten and not being able to eat, you know, or having to wash all the dishes over and over. It was just like a nightmare. So I said that there couldn't be a God because this God doesn't love me. And my mother told me that God loves everybody. But in my mind, how could a God that was so loving, like my mother told me, allow me to go through these things? But as the chapters go on, you will understand that I understood the assignment, why God allowed me to go through the things that I went through. And he loves me. He loves me, not loved me, but he loves me just that much that it made me become the woman I am today.
Yes, Lord, yes, yes. And then at the same time, you go into the discussion about you really didn't know who God was yourself. You were thinking about committing suicide. Then you talk about how the Lord called your mother home, and then you was upset about that.
Yes, and that was the first time I tried to commit suicide. Yes, absolutely. And when my mother passed away when I was 11 years old, I said that I wanted to go with her, so I cut my wrist, and I ended up going in the hospital because I thought that that was the only way that I could be with my mother. See, the enemy tried to take me out even as a child because he knew. He had already peeped into my future, and he saw the things that God had for me. And so he tried to take me out at a very early age. At the age of 11 was the first time I tried to commit suicide. So therefore, I continued to have that spirit of suicide following me everywhere I went.
Wow. But you know what? I just want to say this to you. Apparently, you had someone else that was praying on your behalf, interceding on your behalf that you may not even be aware of. They may have saw your hurt and saw your pain, but I believe God had somebody, like the Bible talk about a ram in the bush. Somebody was praying on your behalf. And because, like you said, the enemy, he saw the calling that God has on your life, had on your life and still has on your life. Not only you, but that's for every believer that's trying to be a doer of God's word. I believe that's why we go through some of the trials and the tests and tribulations that we go through as children of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, is because the enemy knows that God has a calling on our lives, and he tried to take us out at an early age. So we won't fulfill our God's purpose in the earth. God won't get the glory out of our lives. So and I'm sure a lot of listeners that have dialed in or may have been listening around the world through social media platforms, such as myself, I can testify to what you just said, too, regarding myself, that the enemy...
Yes.
I've been going through all kind of hell all my life, even in church, because the enemy knew and still knows that God has a calling on our lives. So we just thank God that we, once we get into God's word and once we really find out who God is, it becomes personal with us and we get a personal relationship with God just like you did. And you really become who God is for yourself. And then you start building up your holy faith in the Lord. You start trusting him more. You start walking in your faith and your favor and your calling and your purpose in life. And then that when you do that and then you get into God's word, you start studying his word more. That's the enemy do not like when we get into God's word because he knows that's a weapon that we're going to use against him. And that's why he don't like for the children of God to go to Bible study or get in Sunday school classes or get around other saints that's filled with the Holy Spirit and know God's word, and they're going to encourage one another in God's word. So that's what the enemy do not want us to do that. So that's why it's so important that the children of God, the sisters and brothers that are true believers in Jesus Christ, get in God's word, stay in God's word, stay motivated and encouraged in God's word, and then motivate and encourage one another in God's word so we can fulfill our own individual God purposes as well as a corporate body of believers fulfilling our God purpose in the earth that God gives the glory. Would you like to add anything else? Would you like to add anything else from that chapter, briefly discuss anything else out of that chapter one before we go further or not? Or we can just move on.
Yes, we can move on. Like you said, you don't want me to give away too much. So, yeah, we can move on.
Because I'm looking at the book. I got so much highlighted in this book because it's so powerful. And I'm still, as I read this book, and I'm still looking over it right now as we're talking on the air, I'm still, it's almost unbelievable the things that you went through. I see you talked about how your life spiraled out of control quicker than you ever could imagine. How do you, what do you mean by that when you said your life is spiraled out of control faster than you imagined?
Yeah, it had spiraled so out of control because only thing that I could think about was committing suicide. Like it had just spiraled from coming from such a loving family. My mother, my father, my sisters, we all had such a loving family. Of course, I was a baby. I was very spoiled. I always got my way to go from heaven, and that's how I look at it, that I went from heaven to hell. I went from living in a place where I could never imagine that somebody would have to go through what I went through as a child. I could never imagine anybody having to go through that, even though there are people out, children out here that do go through the things that I've gone through, but I could never have imagined it coming from where I came from. So my life just seemed like once I moved, it just spiraled and just kept spiraling to where I had no faith in anything, not even myself. Not God, not anybody, not anything.
Lord Jesus, but God, but God. All
but
right
God.
Now, we got to move on to, we're going to skip over some of the chapters. I'm looking at chapter 4 of your book, which is titled Drugs Got the Best of Me. You talked about how you began leaving your son with your husband all the time, and you were not even coming home for days at a time. You stopped caring about everything. Could you give us a little feedback about chapter 4, Drugs Got the Best?
Yeah. Absolutely. I do want to elaborate on that because what I mean by when you get to this part where it says drugs got the best of me and the previous chapter, it kind of leads into how the drugs got the best of me because I did it as being a part of the in crowd. You know, some of my friends started snorting cocaine. And it was so much fun at the beginning. And that's what the enemy allowed me to see was only the fun and not as I continued to use drugs where it was going to take me. So it was no longer fun. And once I started using the drugs completely took over me. It took over my thinking. It took over my acting, how I acted. It distorted the things that I would see, that I would think. And I started snorting cocaine. And then once I snorted cocaine, I was still functioning. So I thought, because like I said, drugs distort your thinking. I don't care what kind of drugs you use, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, your thinking is distorted because you're putting something in your body that is not of God. So your thinking now is distorted. And I thought that I was a functioning cocaine habit person. And I really wasn't because I was still working. But then I was introduced to crack cocaine. And that's when my life turned into hell. So I started smoking crack. And I started not coming home. I started not going to work. I ended up leaving my job. They didn't even know that I quit. I just left my job because all I could think about was getting high. I sold my diamond ring, my diamond wedding rings. I sold the car my husband bought me. I sold all this stuff to the dope man. And I can't say that they took it from me because I gave it away. And that's just the bottom line that I had to come to realization. Nobody took anything from me. Everything that I had, I gave away to support my drug habit. So that's why my son started being with my husband more and more and more because I wouldn't come home. Days, weeks at a time.
Wow. Lord Jesus. But then again, like we said, but God, it's by the grace of God
but
that you're still here. Yeah, because so many people don't get the opportunity that you had, that you was given by God. Some of them have the opportunity, but they don't take advantage of it. And so God looks at our heart. Thank God he looks at our heart, because sometimes we can get so far out there in the world doing the things of the world, and if we get so excited about it, get caught up in it, and we get so carried away with it, and that's exactly what, that's a trick of the enemy. That's exactly what he wants us to do. get caught up into these different habits and addictions that we forget all about God, even some people that are saved in Jesus' name, and then we become liability to the kingdom of God. We become liabilities. Mm-hmm. We can be saved and in Jesus' name, but we can still be a liability. And then we get so caught up into the things of the world, and now we are living like the world, we're looking like the world, we're acting and talking like the world, doing everything that the world, people of the world do, and that's not pleasing to God. So we just thank God that he brought you out of this that horrible pit. I'm going to put it like that. You were in a horrible pit. You talk about the drugs got the best of me. But thank God, we know that the enemy has some control, but we thank God that he has all control, and he has total control. But he brought you out of a horrible pit, and now look where you are now. Now you are able to share your story with others, and you're able to come and people see you, and you talk about your book and what you went through and some of the things that you brought upon yourself by being a user of drugs for, you said, over 16 years?
16 years of my life. And let me also mention this, Brother James, because it's so amazing that the chapters you chose were the most powerful chapters in this book. And when I think about chapter 4, you know, I talk about how the drugs had gotten the best of me because I was among the walking dead. I was living, but I was dead. You know, I knew that I was in hell on earth. I could just imagine what hell is like because I was there on earth for 16 years of my life where I lived in abandoned buildings. I slept on people's floors and couches wherever I could. The guilt and the shame of me dragging my son everywhere I went, you know, because I couldn't find a babysitter. So I would take him with me to the drug houses, and I would tell people, if you molest my son, if you touch my son, I'm going to kill you, you know, but yet I'm putting him in that situation. And I always kept him near me. And I thank you, Jesus, to this day. And I thank God every day that my son never turned out to use drugs because he was around them all the time because I dragged him. In this chapter, in chapter 4, I want to briefly go over how what made me kind of decide to turn my life around was when two men snatched me off the street. And they threw me in a van, and they took me to this house where they beat me, they raped me, they continued to beat me, they sodomized me, they did whatever they wanted to do with me. They beat me so bad with a 2x4, they were beating me with their fists, and I never even knew that such monsters existed. That's why I said I was in hell on earth, because these guys grabbed me in a van, took me, and as they beat me and raped me, you know how they say when you lose bodily fluids is when you're dying? Well, they had beat me and raped me, and they had beat me so bad that I started losing bodily fluids and I couldn't breathe anymore. And I knew that the last thing I said when I closed my eyes, I knew that I was dying. And I told my son, I loved him. I said, I love you, and please forgive me. And I said, God, please don't let me die and go to hell. I remember saying that before I had died. And they took me and threw me in the alley and left my body there for dead. And somebody found me. And when I woke up, I was in the hospital. And I want y'all to hear me when I say that. Audience, hear what I said. I said I woke up because I had died.
Yeah.
I woke up in the hospital. And that was nothing but that. I woke up. I was so swollen. I was unrecognizable. And I had a wristband on my arm that said Jane Doe. Because I didn't have no kind of ID, but all they knew that somebody had beaten me real bad. Somebody found me in the alley, called 911, and they got me to the hospital.
Lord Jesus, wow, Lord have mercy. Yes, so that's why I can say to the listeners, yes, I have read this book for myself, and that's what you just discussed with the listeners. As I read that part, I mean, like I was my mouth flew open. I'm like, oh my God, but God. He allowed you to live because he still had a purpose for your life, and he did not allow the enemy to take you out. Thank God for Jesus that you're still here to tell your story. That's why we thank God for you, that the testimony that you opened up with and shared that powerful testimony. We're going to go to a real short music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss this book a little bit more before we close out for tonight. If you all will please me, we want to of what we're talking about on tonight, I'm going to song real quick. And the word of God says the perfect prayer of the worship avails much. So that's why I'm saying it again on tonight. Don't get tired of it, because I'm going to continue to play it, because the world is in trouble. We need prayer. Enjoy.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Pray for me. Pray for me, you, my sisters, you, my brother. Pray for me, and I'm praying for you. Well, as we know by now, if you don't, you should know by now that my special guest on tonight is none other than the author of the book titled There's No Sound in My Scream, talking about drugs, truth, and faith, none other than Kimberly Mallory. Before we went to the music break, you were talking about you thank God for your son. You talk about in your book the pain that you caused your son. You were talking about how you took your son around the different crack houses and every place you went that you was using drugs. You had your son with you. And by the grace of God, he is not on drugs. He's not using drugs. We thank God for that. That's a blessing all in itself. We're going to, before we're running short, so I want to get to this chapter 6. I want you to talk about now. We talked about your beginning, how you wrote the book, and then we talked about Drugs Got the Best of Me, chapter 4. Now we're going to conclude tonight with chapter 6. Now we're talking about life without drugs. But before you do that, I want to say to the listeners on tonight, if you all ever get a chance to meet this awesome author, this man of God, who is also in the upcoming movie that I am also in, I just like a spiritual proof of thought, and I'm saying it because it's the truth, and not only for her, but not for just myself, but some of you as well. The spiritual proof of thought came to us saying on tonight, thank God, true Christians don't look like what they have been through, and I can truly say that about my guest on tonight, this awesome woman of God, this author, Kimberly Mallory. So right now, we're going to conclude with the chapter 6, talking about life without drugs. because I'm going to give the listeners a chance to ask you any questions at the end, or then we might want to give you words of encouragement. But could you briefly go over, talk about a little bit about Chapter 6, Life Without Drugs?
Yes, yes. And so the Life Without Drugs, to me, this is the most powerful chapter because this chapter brought me the most joy. When I wrote this chapter, it's when God literally began healing me, and I felt it in my belly. It was, I could smile again, and I could just say, thank you, God. You know, thank you, God, for protecting my son, something I never thanked you for. Thank you, God, that you protect my son all those times. You know, what God revealed to me is that if you don't address your feelings, then there can never be healing. A lot of times we suppress our feelings and we don't address them. And those feelings will make us and will cause us to go out and do things that we wouldn't do, whether it's stealing, whether it's, you know, anything, drugs, whether it's sex. You know, you have to address your, you know, your testimony is the best thing that you could ever do. A lot of people go to their grave with their book in them.
Yes.
If God has given you a vision for your book, write your book. God didn't give you that vision for not for a reason. He gave you that vision because you have to understand the vision he gave you to write your book is that it's not about you. It's about what your book is going to do for somebody else. So understand that when you're writing your book, it's not about you. Write your book. Don't go to your grave with your book. So in chapter 6, where it says Life Without Drugs, I just want to read this very brief excerpt in it just to give you an idea of throughout my book what happened to me. So I realized today that God has a calling on my life. From the death of my mother at such an early age, I'm still standing. From a suicide, many suicide attempts, I'm still standing. From the horrors of a 16-year drug addiction, I'm still standing. From mental and physical abuse that I've had to endure, I'm still standing. From the emotional feelings of abandonment, I'm still standing. From being raped, beaten, stabbed, and left for dead, I'm still standing. From being homeless, cold, and hungry, I'm still standing. From eating out of garbage cans, eating off the ground and begging for change, I'm still standing. I had to start my life over again when I got clean at the age of 42, but I'm still standing. And never will I give up, no matter what, simply because God has never given up on me. And it's only through his grace and through his mercy that I'm still standing. Now, I may not be where I want to be in life, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm exactly where God needs me to be because I'm still standing.
Wow, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And not only that, from after all that you have went through, you went from that, you got up from, with the grace of God and with the help of God, you were able to go to college and received your degree as a court reporter, and then you went.
Yeah.
You just went. God just opened doors for you once you came to yourself. Almost like the prodigal son. After you came to yourself and you got out of that horrible pit that you was in, now God can use you, and you have written this book. God is being glorified through not only the book but through your testimony. Everywhere you go, you're being a witness for the Lord. People can actually look in your face and see you and see that you don't look like what you've been through. Now they can say, oh, I not understand what that scripture group was talking about. We don't look like what we've been through. So on tonight, Arthur, Kimberly, Mallory, I just want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know your father is ill. You're dealing with your father's health and other things. But we thank God for you. Someone needed to hear your testimony on tonight. Someone needed to hear your report from your book. Even those that are behind prison bars, you may be incarcerated. This worldwide platform is now being heard in prisons throughout the United States. So even though you may be incarcerated, God can still use you to write your book, even behind prison bars, that you can be a blessing to someone else, that God will get the glory out of your life as well. So for you, Kimberly, Mallory, I just want to say thank you so much. You continue to keep your hand in God's hand. Keep the faith. keep being the woman of God that he has called and anointed and appointed for you to be for such a time as this. So right now what I'm going to do, and I'm getting ready to open up the phone line, but before I do that, would you please share with the listeners how anyone can get in contact with you if they want you to speak at their church or a women's function or whatever the case may be? How would the listeners be able to get in contact with you? And then following that, would you please let the listeners know how they can obtain copies of your book?
Yes, absolutely. So you can contact me for any speaking engagements. You can contact me through my email. It's kimfouchet@gmail.com, and that is spelled K-I-M, F as in Frank, O-U, C as in cat, H-I-A, kimfouchet@gmail.com. Again, K-I-M-F-O-U-C-H-I-A at gmail.com. You can also get my book on Amazon.com. And you can either put in Kimberly Mallory to pull up the book, or you can put in the title, There Is No Sound in My Screen, and it'll come up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Kimberly. Also, Kimberly Mallory has a radio show that she does. She's a host of a radio show. Could you give us that information as well?
Well, actually, it's a television show, and it's called Ask the Messenger. Yes. Yeah, it is a television show that comes on WMYD TV 20 in Detroit, and it is Michigan, a Michigan station. And it is Channel 20, as I mentioned, WMYD. It comes on every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Channel 20.
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, God is doing mighty things through you. That's what the enemy tried to stop that. But God had another plan. We just thank God you're still here fulfilling your God purpose. All right, listeners, now the phone lines are open for anyone that have dialed in on tonight, even though we know that a lot of people do dial in and some of you don't say anything, but we thank God for you for dialing in and being blessed by this platform. So right now the lines are open for any listener that have dialed in. If you have a question for my guest on tonight, or if you just want to give her a verse of encouragement, you can do so now.
God bless you. God bless you, Sister Mallory. We thank you so much for sharing your story and for you obeying the word of God. While I was listening to you, I was thinking of the words to a song that says, look where God has brought me from. And God has brought you, sister, from a mighty long way. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Thank you so much, Sister Gwen. Anyone else? Anyone else? The phone lines are still open.
Well, well, well. Good evening to my people. To you, Brother Brown, and to my wonderful sister. You have really tremendously blessed me on tonight. You have blessed my soul. You have blessed my heart. Everything that you're doing, continue to do what you're doing because God is taking you higher. And just remember, everybody can't go with you where he's taking you.
Lord, have mercy.
And you know who this is. This is your sister. This is your sister. This is Rob's cousin, Tara.
Ooh,
I just want to tell you.
Oh, my God. God just spoke that to me, too. He said, everybody's not going to be with me on this journey, including family members. He just spoke that to me.
And Sister Taylor, I just want to be a witness because before the show started tonight, Kimberly, I called Kimberly, and she had just said that same thing to me before we came live on the air tonight.
Yep.
But that means we're all on one accord. God is doing something great for his children in this year. God is going to blow, literally he's going to blow our minds. And I'm going to tell you, when you were talking about suicide, that really touched me. That really touched me. And the reason why it touched me is because I tried to do that same thing. April the 17th, 2018. It was just like yesterday. So I feel where you're coming from. I do. But keep on doing what you're doing. You and Brother Brown, keep on doing what you're doing because eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard what God is about to do for you all. He's preparing a table before the both of you in the presence of your enemies. Keep on climbing up God's high mountain.
Thank
Don't
you.
Get me started on tonight.
Sister.
I got a voice to speak now.
Amen.
Thank you, sister.
Amen.
Wow.
Praise the Lord, sister. All right, anyone else? The phone lines are still open. The phone lines are still open for anyone else. I know that. Go ahead.
Hey, Bro James.
Yes, Pastor King.
Can you
hear me? Go ahead. Yes, we
can. I come in. Okay, I come in on tail end, but the thing that I'm reminded of is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Because I come in on the end when he was talking about, you know, you're protecting your son, no matter what type of experience you're going through, you knew that you had to stand there and take care of your kid. But at the same time, you knew you could do it without the Lord. You know, now think about what you said when you said that about leaving you in the alley, but yet God still spares you. And I'm reminded of a license plate I put in front of my truck when God saved me from a situation that says I've been kept. So God has kept you. Come on, somebody, huh? He has kept you.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. From what you said, what I heard you say, I can't even imagine. Nowhere in my mind would I even imagine to be out there left in an alley, for dead, you know, and all what you've been through. So I pray your strength in the Lord. I'm inspired. I am. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Sister Kimberly,
amen.
That's my first cousin, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, you just spoke to.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Well, I just want to say once again, I do want to thank all the listeners that always dials in. We do have a lot of listeners that dials in, but they don't say anything. But don't think we take you lightly or for granted. We thank God for each one of you, and I pray that you will continue to dial into this worldwide platform, continue to be blessed by the testimonies and by the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, and all of my special guests, the different authors that come forth serving their books and what God is doing in their lives. So we thank God that he has no respect for persons. What he did for others, he's the same God, and he would do the same thing for you if you just believe by faith. So once again, Sister Kimberly Mallory, once again, I want to thank you. And I'm asking all the listeners, please keep up. What is your father's name, Kimberly?
James Mallory.
Keep her father, Brother James Mallory, in your prayers, listeners. God knows what he's going through. We don't have to discuss it because God already knows. I'm just asking you all to take and agree that God will intervene, that his will be done in her father's life, that God will get the glory, and that he will continue to strengthen her as she look out for her father and continue to be the woman of God that he has called for her to be. We thank you, Sister Kimberly Mallory, for being my special guest on tonight. So we get ready to close out for tonight. And don't forget to dial in, tune in this coming Saturday night for part two from husband and wife team, Pastor Gerald and Carol Irving will be doing their part two tag team message on this coming Saturday night. Next Thursday night, overseer Joseph Lee Jackson out of Washington, D.C., that powerful man of God, we'll be delivering God's word on next Thursday night. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. We want to continue to say a hello and a shout out to my pastor, our pastor, Pastor Moxie Holloway, and my co-founder, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church in Hopper Woods, Michigan. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are on tonight. We bless your name because we know that you're worthy of our praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your spirit that has gone through and forth through this worldwide ministry platform of life, that the listeners, as well as myself, was blessed by this awesome woman of God, your daughter, my sister in Christ, author Kimberly Mallory. And we thank you that her labor is not in vain, and that we thank you for being a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. So we ask that you would continue to bless her life, continue to touch her father, Lord. We pray that you would touch his body, Lord, his mind, his spirit, that your will be done in his life, that you would get the glory, not only him, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We continue to lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We even continue to lift up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. We continue to lift up our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem and Israel. Your word tells us that we ought to pray for them for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem and Israel. We also lift up our sisters and brothers over in Ukraine, Heavenly Father. They are going through this unprovoked war by President Putin. So continue to be with those people in Puerto Rico as they have been going through devastation after devastation through the different hurricanes and floods, and all those that are suffering from the wildfires over on the West Coast, and all those that are going through different problems and situations. In this life, you said in this life we would have trials and tribulations, but we're standing on your word that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we know that you are our promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. So bless those that faithfully dials into this worldwide ministry platform, even those that tuned in through social media platforms around the world. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts, that we give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, and that is amen and amen. Remember, I love you all, but guess what? God loves you even more. So because that being said, because of what we're going through, spiritual wars and spiritual warfare, we're going to close out tonight's program with the opening song, War. Know that I love you again, and God loves you even more. So don't forget to tune in this coming Saturday night.
Might as well put your hands together.